May God bless the hearing and the reading of His Word today. You know, that is so otherworldly, only kids could come up with something like that. They just haven't lived long enough. They really don't know how the world works, do they? Well, only kids and Jesus. And see, isn't that our problem? Little Christ is what they called them. Back in the first century, the Apostle Paul had started planting these little communities of Jesus followers all over his part of the world and beyond even. They were stretching out to other places, in particular to places like Antioch. They were trying to live just like that man Jesus lived, just like he taught his disciples to live. They all wanted to be just like that, a copy, a replica. It was crazy. They were doing things that didn't even make sense, that were putting themselves in harm's way, that were giving away all their stuff. They were loving people so madly that they were condemned as crazy. Crazy Christians. And so the Roman soldiers saw this little community in Antioch, and they were really into it. I mean, there was no stopping them. They were going to bring Jesus back if each and every one of them had to become Jesus, him or herself. So they did. Each and every one of them made a commitment to be just like Jesus. And the Roman guards looked at him and laughed and mocked them and said, little Christ, do you know what we did to him? You like him. And they took that as the greatest compliment they could ever get. And they kept the name. Little Christ means Christian. So we had the world's first Christians. A little town in Antioch. A little community started by Paul. Peter later visited. When I started to learn about Jesus when I was a young kid, that's kind of what I expected to find. Where are those people? Where are those Antioch Christians who are so ridiculous for Jesus that they do crazy things, otherworldly things, that they're willing to sacrifice themselves for anybody, that they'll love even the most hated people, that they'll stand up and try to stop any injustice? Where are those Antioch Christians in the world today? Because this town's full of churches, and I know their parking lots are full on Sunday. Where are they going after they leave church? Because I want to find them. And they were all around me. I just didn't know they were little Christs because they didn't act like it. I guess they left it at the church. They forgot about the calling to be Christ to the world, to the ones that are most hated, the ones that are most condemned, the ones that are most oppressed, the ones who are facing the greatest injustice. Where are they for them? Where are those Christians? I couldn't find them anywhere. I was confused by what that word meant, Christian. Thought I knew from that little church in Antioch. You know what it was, Ann? That little group of people, they decided when they formed a Jesus community that they no longer owned anything by themselves. It was no longer individual ownership. Everything I owned, we owned. And everything you owned, we owned. And we all owned it together. And we all gave to whoever needed. And we all shared equally. And if a bad thing happened to one family over here, then we all went over there and helped. And if something happened over there, then we all went over there. Right? And it was just the way we lived. We had trust in each other. We never had to worry about not having an income or not having the food for the day or not having a place to sleep at night, because we had fellow little Christs who were always there for us. Where was that church? Where is that church? Where is that church? That's the church I want to be a part of. You know, that's the Jesus I want to meet. I want to meet the crazy, turn the world upside down and inside out Jesus who tells me I can be a new creation if I give my heart to him and I can live a whole new way. That I can live a different way from the way this culture wants me to live, teaches me to live, expects me to live. I can find a new way. Let's call it something unique and original, like the way. The way of Jesus. So, where is that church that's living by the way of Jesus? I got to confess to you, because it's time, because this scripture came up now, and God's put this on my heart, and we've been together a while. It's time to say it. That's why I'm here. I'm not here to be Jesus. I'm just here to challenge you enough so that you'll try it. So that you'll try something new in your life. Don't trust me, trust him. Because I can tell you what he's done to my life has whacked it out. I mean, it's a wacky life, right? It doesn't fit anybody's standards out there, but people have been willing to accept me and go on, and that's just Pastor Bob, or that's just Coach Bob. And I love it. I love it. Because it frees me of having to live by other people's standards. To live for other people. Anybody in here a people pleaser? Yeah, I know. You are. Me too. Frees us. Oh my God, all I have to do is please Jesus. Please my Lord. Walk with him today and hope it pleases his Father in heaven. That's the standard I live by. So if you want to criticize me for doing something, you know, for somebody or giving something away, or that's not going to work. What you need to be doing is criticizing me for not giving enough away and not doing enough to help people, because I'm not there yet. But I need to be part of a community that'll do that, that'll hold me to that standard, not the standard you're doing too much. I thought you wanted to be an Antioch Christian. You need to be doing more, Bob, right? Now, who wants to be a part of that? Who wants to be a part of that community? Do we have one? Oh, let's bring her forward and take him. How about we do this? How about we just let that rest on your heart? We are almost in Lent. Ash Wednesday's March 6th. Lent is the time that Christians prepare for the greatest celebration of the whole year, maybe of their whole life, Resurrection morning. It's a period of time for all of us to experience resurrection again. Now, here's a little secret about experiencing resurrection. There's a requirement before you can experience resurrection. Do you know what that requirement is? Yes! You said it! Almost out loud. You have to die to experience resurrection. You have to die to yourself, your self-centeredness, your selfish ways, your ways of living your life based on cultural values, worldly priorities, what other people think you should do. And you've got to come to Jesus Christ and say, I'm all in it for you and you alone. You're my standard. I'm going to die to all those things, and I'm going to rise with you on Easter morning into a new life, and we just might have an Antioch church that day. I don't know. It's in your hands and God's hands, but I'd love to be here for it. I'd like to see that church. I'd like to see it. Would you like to see that church? Can you imagine what that would do to your life? Don't think about it. It'll scare you. Don't forget. Forget I said that. Don't think about it. Here are the things I want you to think about doing between now and the beginning of Lent. I want you to bless you and bless you and bless you. This has caused so people so much anxiety, they go into sneezing fits. It's one of the signs that they're getting anxious about this. You know. Other little ones sing. Where is our prophet? She's praying about it already. Think if you can adopt three of these things. I'm going to give you a scorecard next sheet, because that's so worldly. I'm going to give you a scorecard to see what you're willing to pick. Let's just see. The kids told us what the truth of Jesus is and how he wants us to live. Let's go down the list of what I call Jesus Christ top 10, right? And see how many you're going to pick. You might want to write them down or put them on your heart, put them on your bulletin somewhere. Let's just go down. Did you just pick one, ma'am? Are you in? Did I see Ray? Did you just buy something at the auction, or are you in? Are you all in? Here we go. Number one, who's in? Love your enemies. Who are your enemies, right? Anybody that you can't love? It's a good way to think about it, because, right? Anybody you're not loving, you're supposed to be loving. Love your enemies. One way to think about it. The culture gives you plenty of enemies, right? You all know my favorite group today was marching across Central America, coming into our border to attack us. Those are our enemies, I guess, right? We need some little Christ who will love them. That's what Jesus does. He loves them and feeds them. Anyway, that's an example. The culture will give you plenty of people to hate, to tell you they're our enemies. Here's the deal. Little Christ don't have enemies. I'm sorry. It's not allowable. We love our enemies. Any enemies we take in, any Gerasene demoniac that we go up on the shore to, becomes part of the family. Right? Because we're all precious children of God. Okay, so maybe you're not going to write that one down. It'll free you from so much hate in your heart, so much hardness of your heart, so much darkness in your heart. Love everybody. Don't have any enemies. Don't have any enemies at school, at work. Ooh, yeah. In fact, take the people you find hardest to love and put all your love efforts into them. See what happens. Secondly, do good to those people who hate you. You know who they are. They don't like you. They say things about you. Find ways to do good for them, right? And it's best if done anonymously. Not like you're trying to get credit for it so they won't hate you anymore. Don't worry about them hating you. Just find ways to do good for them. The little clue, by the way, that comes up on the cover that one of our worship team disciples decided we needed to put on here just so we know why we're doing all this, by the way, this is not the world's best boss. But he thinks he is. And he wants you to think he is too. And if you have to brag about it, it doesn't even count. Right? That's not why we're in this. Do good to those who hate you. Be intentional about it. Find something good you can do to those who hate you. Maybe even in the moment that hate comes out. Number three, bless those who curse you. You know who they are, right? You have a good sense of who they are, right? You know, we heard about one woman in our Sunday school class. Hey, people are starting to throw money at me now. This must be going good. Anybody else? I'll get the plate out. Or just to stop. Hey, bless those who curse you. Find ways to be a blessing to people no matter who they are, no matter what they're doing. It'll unchain you of the shackles of having to try to find ways to hate people. I mean, that's what we do, isn't it? We try to find ways. Huh? That's what we do. That's what we do. Testify. Number four. Pray for those who abuse you. So this is the old rule. We always want to put this in here, and Jesus says it, because we don't want to put you in harm's way. We don't want to put you in dangerous situations so that there's people who hate you enough that they want to inflict violence on you, you know? And they may want to do it the next time they see you. Jesus didn't say, go run to them and turn the other cheek and let them beat you to a pulp. For those people, let's pray. Let's pray for those people. Let's pray for those people. They're precious children of God. It's true. They are. They've been distorted by the world they live in. They may be mentally ill. They may have all kinds of things going on that we don't know about. They deserve prayers. And prayers change lives. And if that's all you can do, pray for those who abuse you. Number five, if anyone steals your coat, I love this one, give them your shirt as well. Jesus said it. You know what that means? Every time somebody steals something, there's a desperate person in need of something. Oftentimes, it's not exactly what they're stealing, but it's in need of something, right? Think about that. Think about how much, I don't know, I was talking today about my closet. You know, I could have four or five thieves come today and go through my closet and take what they wanted. I don't know if I'd notice it for a while. It's just, it's disgusting, my closet is. But, oh, God. But anyway, if somebody steals from you, there's a heart that's desperate in need of something. Why don't you find a way to give them more? Track them down and give them more, right? That's what little Christ do. That's what little Christ see, right? Now, a lot of thievery today, this is just one example of how you have to use a discerning heart to figure these things out. A lot of thievery today are for people who are addicted to drugs. Alcohol too, but drugs primarily, because it takes cash money to purchase drugs. They're fixed for the day. So a lot of times they steal things that they can sell quickly and get cash for, right? So I'm not saying if you know someone like that is stealing from you to go give them a whole bunch of cash. You know, that's not the best thing to give them. Try to give them something that they could use that they can't sell. like go by them at lunch and take a lunch to them, or a pie, or whatever it might be, a hug, right? Or an open door. But just have a discerning heart and use your heart and your head together to make those decisions. Okay, we better keep moving, right? Give to everyone who begs from you. Now, a lot of people freak out with this one. Like, I'm not giving to all those fake beggars out there and things like that. Again, use your discerning heart. Right? People beg in all kinds of different ways. Right? My rule of thumb on this is generally find a way to say yes to everybody. Find a way to say yes to everybody. And that doesn't mean give everybody everything that they want or they're begging for. Sometimes I don't even give a person what they're begging for. But I'll give them something, if nothing else, a blessing. I may be trying to teach them a lesson, and it may be a long-term blessing, but I'm always trying to get to yes. Let me help you. Let me help you bigger than what you think your need is. Let's look at the whole situation here and find out why you're in this situation. If you want. If you don't, you know, here's a hot dog. You know, I hope that helps. Give to everyone who begs from you. Those aren't my words. Those aren't some made-up words. Jesus said that to you. Jesus said it to you. So in his spirit, we need to find a way to do that. Number 7. Do not judge others. Okay, I know. We're getting into real. Do not judge others and you will not be judged. I'm telling you, through Jesus' help, you can get here. You can learn how not to judge other people. And I'm telling you, what the first thing that's going to happen is you're going to notice how many other people spend half their day judging other people, or how our whole lives are surrounded by judgment of other people. I mean, we can hardly get together and talk with each other without, in 2 minutes, we're judging somebody, we're condemning somebody, we're talking down about someone. We've got to stop doing that. And, you know, a good place to start is in the church. You know, we've got to stop talking about each other in ways that are judgmental. You need to find ways to love each other. Just love each other. Just find a way to love each other. Find a way to say yes to each other. Let's stop this judgment stuff. You know, it's been going on way too long. You know, I'm not going to name names or call out anybody, right? Just stop it. Stop doing it. It hurts you. It hurts your heart. It hurts your life with Christ. It hurts your faith life. It hurts you. Because the second half of this, Jesus says, is do not judge others and you will not be judged, which implies that every time you do, you're being judged. And none of us can survive that judgment. Right? And he didn't come to judge us. He came to love us. Number 8. Do not condemn others, and you will not be condemned. Right? I'm still reading right off the kid's script. Right what they read. Right what Jesus said. Do not condemn others. Which means you have to be very careful about who you give your allegiances to. Because we live in a country that condemns others in a way that justifies us invading them. And killing them. I mean, let's just be honest about it. You have to find a way to live with that in your heart, right? Many of you may have participated in military or other things like that. You have to find a way to balance those decisions in your heart with your calling from Jesus Christ. But once we condemn other people, which our news media and social media, like, that's their business, is condemning other people. Once we get to a point where we've condemned other people, then we can do anything to them, atrocity-wise, invasion-wise, jailing them, no matter what. Once we've condemned them, they're not equal human beings. They're less so, right? Jesus never did that. He went to those that were condemned and told them that they were the blessed ones. Think about how you can do that in your life instead, right? Number 9, yeah, then there's the forgiveness thing. Man, we could just get so much freedom from just learning how to forgive people. And here's my one tip on forgiveness, right? We get hung up on thinking that forgiveness is between me and the person who perpetrated an act on me that I'm trying to forgive or hurt me in some way. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is between you and God. God will heal you of your unforgiving heart, which is a blessing for you, which doesn't impact your relationship with the person. You still can remember. There's no forgetting. There's no excusing. But forgiveness in your heart from God heals you. It's how you get healed. And you learn how to do that in all situations. And then finally, now, this is a way to live. Wait, we're not taught to live this way. Give, give, and give some more. For the measure that you give will be the measure that you get back. There are two ways of looking at our economic lives. One is an economy of scarcity. You know what that means? An economy of scarcity means there's not enough to go around. There's not enough to go around, and I got to get mine. And I got to keep mine. And I got to get as much as I can. And I got to protect it and lock it up. My mom and I were talking. We were driving back from Kentucky on Friday. And have you ever noticed how many people are making a lot of money selling us storage bins along the highway? Because we don't have enough space for all the stuff we're trying to protect in our own homes. And our homes are huge. But we need some more storage bins just to protect it, like we're ever going to use it. Right? No, that's just, it's an economy of scarcity. Like we just can't get enough. And we have to work harder every day to get more. That's not what Jesus taught us. Jesus taught us in something opposite from that. An economy of abundance. An economy of abundance where there's plenty for everybody. There's plenty of everybody. Maybe not all your wildest dreams, but certainly all your needs and all the needs of every person on earth. But when we hoard it all in the United States of America, people are starving all around the world. Right? People are starving all around the world because we hoard everything, from money to food to everything. Right? What I learned was, and I try to live by this, well, I try. The more I give away, the more God gives me back. It's crazy. I can't like document it. It just has happened that way. When I used to live my life previously, I hoarded every dollar. I never could seem to be able to keep it. Now I give it away, and I'm always getting money back. I don't know how that works. I can't make any guarantees, and I'm not a financial investor, obviously. But God will bless your life when you learn the freedom of giving things away. Not thinking you own anything, but that everything you have is owned by God for a use to build his kingdom. And he's just looking for ways for you to distribute everything he's given you in order to bless his kingdom. So, anybody in on any of those? How many people are willing to pick out three of those? Three of those, and maybe if I come back next Sunday, you'll raise your hand and say, I'm going for three. How many people are willing to think about that? Because right around that, you can start an Antioch church. I mean, you can change the world with, oh, I'm just going to make an estimate here. 12 people who are willing to live like that? 12 maybe? I think if we had 12 people willing to live like that, I think we could change the world. What do you think? You want to be one of those? Nathaniel, Bartholomew. The name doesn't matter. I don't know if there's a disciple named Bob. Anyway. Hey, we needed to come to Jesus meeting. So consider it done. But you know what we need? We need to come to Jesus church. And not just we need it. We need it for our hearts. This community needs to come to Jesus church. Right? This little village needs it, right? This state, the Christianity needs a come to Jesus church that actually looks like what Jesus said. Doesn't it? So we can show other people, that's a beautiful church you have over there. You do a lot of great things for each other. Here's one that Jesus started. Amen.